scientists have informed us that December 21st is the longest night of the year. Every child knows different. The longest night of the year is Christmas Eve. I can remember as a child trying to will myself to sleep, but looking out the window and trying to see what sparkling star must have been the one that led the wise men to Bethlehem. And did I or did I not see the faint red glow of a flying reindeer? Finally, I would go to sleep and then wake up. It was the morning. And my sister and I would scheme as to how we could attack the living room. There were only two entrances to the living room, and they could lock one, but they couldn't lock the other. So we would mount our attack and sprint forward toward the living room, only to be blocked by my mama, who would spread out her bathrobe like Count Dracula, going back to your room until your grandparents get here. Mom, you got to be kidding. She wasn't kidding. We would trudge back to our bedrooms, kind of sharing what we had spotted past the bathrobe, and wondering how long it would take old people to drive 10 miles to get there so we could open those gifts. And then finally we would hear that car drive into the driveway, and my mom would come back and say, "All right, come unwrap the gifts." The people who had been around the tomb of Lazarus had spent some long nights as well, keeping vigil, nights of sorrow and pain. And when Jesus arrived, the scene was so melancholy and poignant, even he cried. But then he said, "I want to see where they placed him." And he commanded, "Roll away the stone." And Martha, the sister, said, "Lord, you don't want to do that. He's going to stink. It's been 4 days." Now, there was significance to that 4 days. Because in that culture, they believed that the soul hovered around the body for 3 days, just in case there was a miraculous recovery. But on the fourth day, if that hadn't happened, all hope was gone. But Jesus said, "Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth." And out he comes, bound in burial rags, covered with a cloth. And Jesus commands, "Unbind him and let him go." What was Jesus offering Lazarus? Life? Yes. And no. And on that answer hinges the whole purpose of God. Everything that breathes on earth enjoys God's gift of existence. But that's not what Jesus was calling Lazarus forth to enjoy. He was calling him forth to enjoy communion with the resurrection power of life, the spiritual energy of the universe. He was offering him abundant life. Unwrap it and come forth. Unwrap him and let him go. My point to you is, Jesus was not calling Lazarus from the tomb simply to give him a few more calendar days. He was not calling him forth to do more eating and drinking and sleeping and punching the time clock and consulting his stock market and checking the TV listens and finding the sports scores. If that's all he was doing, he was calling him forth from death only to place him in the shadow of another death. He might call Lazarus from the tomb tomorrow, and Lazarus might take his life the next day. Oh, Dr. Krimmer, that wouldn't happen. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that if you save their life today, they would start killing themselves tomorrow. Eating themselves, drinking themselves, smoking themselves, working themselves to death. Because they have never figured out the answer to a question. Why do I live? There are a host of people who, if you save their life, would begin killing themselves in some way, slow or fast fashion, because they do not have an answer to the question, what is my purpose in life? Jesus met a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who had had the same failed relationship over and over and over and over and over again, trying to address the spiritual vacuum inside that no relationship could seem to touch. And Jesus offered her abundant life, living water, that could slake a thirst that no material possession could touch. Jesus commanded her, open the gift. And she did. The scriptures say Mary Magdalene was healed by Jesus of 7 demons. We don't know what those demons were, but all of us have our own demons. But she was freed from that inner turmoil and sat at the foot of the cross and watched her Redeemer crucified and resolved to go to his tomb to place spices on his crucified body, only to find instead the resurrected Christ saying to her, Mary, go tell our friends, I am alive. Go tell them it's time to unwrap the gift of resurrection power. The gospel writer John said very plainly why he wrote his gospel. I write this gospel that you might believe that in Jesus is life, and that life is the light of humanity. I write that you might take him as Savior and enjoy abundant life. Unwrap the gift. Christ came into a world, a Roman world, that was filled with bread and circuses. Bread for the stomach, circuses to keep people amused, so that they wouldn't agitate for something that really mattered. Jesus comes bringing truth. He says to Pilate, I am the truth. And Pilate's response is, what is truth? What's really truth? Jesus offers Pilate abundant life. And it scares him, and he washes his hands of it, and he leaves that gift unopened. We too live in a world of bread and circuses. To keep us amused and often superficial, we have television and movies and Game Boys. We have computers and symphonies and stadiums, all of which can keep us living in superficial passions that don't really matter. Karl Marx once said, religion is the opiate of the people. But when he tried to do away with religion, opium became the opiate of the people. Or alcohol or cocaine or any measure of power and wealth and prestige. It never occurred to the so-called wise of our world that when you substitute the quest for ultimate meaning with penultimate things, the human spirit begins to die. Because we're made for the transcendent. And when we try to substitute the transcendent with the material, we find that it just doesn't quite work. The reality is all of us tear through the gifts of our life. But how often do we stop to think, where's the origin of these gifts? In the beneficence of the giving God. Even little children sense this. On Christmas afternoon, after they've opened all the toys and had some immediate fun, even they in the late afternoon begin to realize there must be something more to this Christmas business than open boxes and discarded bows. I think this morning of a man whose IQ is far higher than anybody's in here. A man who was admitted to Harvard University at age 16. Who was a full professor of advanced mathematics by age 25. And this young man, this extraordinarily intelligent young man, saw the vacuity of modern life, the ruthlessness, the emptiness of an industrial technological age. And it inspired in him a prophet's wrath. But he didn't have a prophet's vision. He didn't have a prophet's integrity. He didn't have a prophet's alternative. And so, in his rage, he began to send letter bombs to people and destroy innocent lives. The world knows him as the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. But what he really was a child given extraordinary gifts. And he didn't know how to open them. He didn't have a purpose to the answer. Why do I live? Why have I been so gifted? The tragedy of this man who now sits in a security prison for the rest of his days is that a thief came in and stole his life. And the thief was him. Every Christmas, I play, you play, Karen Carpenter singing, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." Karen Carpenter had it all, talent, money, fame, beauty in a sort of toothy 70s sort of way. The one thing she didn't have was peace. Peace, inner peace. She didn't have what the Samaritan woman had, an answer to an impulse that no material gift could touch. So she died of a heart attack because of stress placed on her body by an eating disorder, because she never had peace with herself. A thief came in and stole her gifted life. And she was the thief. How many people go through their entire lives never really asking and much less answering the question, why do I live? What is my purpose? God wraps a gift for us, the gift of fellowship with the divine, and says to us, if you will unwrap this gift, you will enjoy it eternally. But if you don't, you will die spiritually. And that sounds harsh, but it's God who gives the gift. It is we who stubbornly refuse to open it. To be human is to have the freedom to leave the gift unopened. To be human is to have the freedom to be stubborn. But to be more human is to unwrap the gift in relationship with God. Open the gifts of love, faith, hope, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. You can't buy these with MasterCard. They're offered only by the Spirit. Faith, hope, love, peace, joy, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. These are the gifts that God places under the trees, inviting us to open them and be truly alive. Sometimes when I issue invitations, come, claim the Christ as Savior and Lord, come, splice your life into this family, I feel a little bit like a car salesman trying to hawk spiritual benefits. But what I really am is my mom. My mom in her bathrobe coming back to our bedrooms and saying, all right, come. The gifts are there. Come unwrap them. I invite you this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent to unwrap the gifts offered you by our gracious and giving God. May we pray together. God, indeed of life, you who offer us abundant life, may we unwrap that gift and may it be the foundation of all of our days. Through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.